Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello, everyone. It's Red News Podcast 95, and unfortunately, it's not in the happiest of circumstances as we hoped. And it's immediately minutes after we're knocked out of the Champions League. And every time we think we're out of the fucking Europa League, it drags us back in. And I'm going to be a bit contrary because I've, as you know, we're Pinball United and we're bonkers. And I just think it's a competition we weren't going to win. So for me, this was the least of our worries. Of course, I wanted to win and get through. But it's like we're shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic with the Champions League. We're actually entering. You know what I thought for the last 5 minutes? And this may sound bollocks. And I think I'm going to say a lot of things that a few of you aren't going to agree with me. But we're actually in a competition we can win now. I know none of you are going to think, listening to that, that's a good positive. But I just think that the sum of all our parts, if you listen back three or four, the cliche, Ollie doesn't get breathing space, we're a shambles at the back. None of this is new. And something's got to give. I personally don't think the give should be Ollie, because from top to bottom, I think Poch might come into the equation with Ed again if we lose at the weekend. But I still want to see where we're going with this. But I get, I'm having loads of messages from mates coming through now saying he's not up to it. So, but for me, you know, he's made some fucking horrendous mistakes. The sure thing, you don't bring a player back into a massive game like that and put him. But the whole of them, from Wan-Bissaka, we look terrible, and then suddenly we get going and it's so predictable. There's so much has happened. I've tried to take a step back because I was so obsessed two podcasts back and I was so gutted about things that I have tried to take my step back. And this might sound false to you, but I'm looking at every setback now as we're not there. It's just bollocks. We're not there. So I am not going to be distraught or crying tonight, maybe as defence mechanism, but it's all a bit phony this season. And we'll take the highs. I was dancing around when Cavani scored against Southampton, but it's all a bit false. It's all just, and United is like that. You know, for once we're on level, Nick's joined us. For once we're level with Barcelona, which is the worst time ever to say we're level with Barcelona. But United are just broken. And we could come back a year ago, 6 months ago. I fear Ollie is not going to get it, though, because you can't keep doing this and you can't keep making mistakes. But we are still four or five players short. And do you know what? We all have a player in our heads that we go, that's a batshit crazy suggestion of a signing. But I've watched the last couple of games, that Vestergaard for Southampton. And do you know what? Every time I've seen him, I've said, he'll do better for us than Lindelof. And he'd probably do better than us for Maguire. Right, I could go on for ages because we haven't even covered. We've had Southampton, West Brom. We've had PSG at home. We've got tonight. So I'm joined by Jav, Shane, Nick and Nathan. I'm going to go to Jav first. How are you feeling, mate?
Mixed, really. I know I see your messages. Two or three things from me. Are we definitely out yet? If they start getting Istanbul and if the Turkish team win, not Istanbul, if they start getting Paris and the Turkish team win, do we go through?
No, because we conceded the goal against PSG, which sums it up, your game management, because we conceded that goal, we got the worst record, so it doesn't matter anymore. We're out. We're Thursday night, Sundays.
Yeah. So that settles that one. Two more things from me. When we were on the last podcast, when we were on the last podcast, I was absolutely craving consistency. And you've got to be careful for what you wish for, because I think in the last two or three games, we've been very consistent, starting off really slowly, giving goals away and coming back later on. And tonight, I think we just run out of aces up our sleeve, got our job three cards. Secondly, when it comes to that chap from was it Southampton or Brighton? I watched him in the last couple of games, same as you, Barry, and thought, yeah, it looks a good one for me. But they did say on commentary last night he's had a mixed reaction from their fans. And then finally, with the last podcast I was on, we were talking about Ollie and Poch and things like that. And that's just that crazy prediction for the Everton game, and predictions for Ollie. And I said then, I think it will all boil down to what happens in the derby on Saturday. And I still think that's right. I think for Ollie, let's see what happens on Saturday. I think if we get beat heavily on Saturday, given how inconsistent we've been, or consistent we've been at the start of games in recent weeks, I think that could be it for him. But if he comes back with a storming win on Saturday, I think we're back to status quo.
I think the thing that I don't know what I'm thinking, really. It's too, you know, we've done it straight after Nathan said, at least we don't have to do it tomorrow. But I think Ed's itch, knowing that Barcelona are going to change, knowing that Real Madrid could change, I think Ed will be itching. But I don't see... I honestly think we're here in a year. I mean, literally... This is going back to Martial, but West Brom, Nick sent a requiem of thoughts that I picked up late about Martial. But it was almost just like a requiem for a lost United. So none of this is new, Nick, is it? Tonight's no surprise.
No, it's not. And the thing is when you play PSG and Leipzig, who were two semi-finalists last year, you know, they're not West Ham and Southampton, are they? You know, they're mediocre, mid-table Premier League sides where you'd be expected to beat them regardless of going behind. And you can't beat Europe's elite by giving them a 1-2, 3-0 head start. It just doesn't work. And, you know, I was really confident tonight when I saw the 3-5-2. You know, I've been an advocate of it. And tonight it just looked out of sort. I thought Shaw just looked totally lost, completely lost. I think that's the most lost I've ever seen him on a football pitch, amongst others, not just him, not just picking on him. I genuinely thought we might do them. You know, they didn't have a proper striker on the pitch, and just to see the way that we played and passed the ball was just utterly abysmal. I'll be honest, I've just seen that it's finished 3-2. I turned it off at 3-0 and just put the telly on. I thought, what's the point anymore? It's like, I'm the man who's the most pro-Ole person, I think, out of all of us. And that was just fucking disgraceful. And I have no other word for it. It was fucking disgraceful.
You missed my bit where I'm just a bit calm because I don't want it to affect me like it was, because we're not there. And I will say, when we went 3-0 down, I was so upset that I had to quell my anger. So I went in the kitchen and put on a pair of sales shoes that I ordered that arrived today and started prancing around the kitchen in a pair of shoes thinking, this is just fucking absurd. I will say, we point to moments, the Fred at PSG, you know, that for me was just scandalous. We all saw it, every WhatsApp group I was in. But these are, the West Brom thing, leading up to them, their penalty that wasn't and all that farce, Maguire got bullied at the halfway line all the way through that period. I mean, it was embarrassing. If you look back, I rewound it about four or five times a match a day and just thought, these are moments. They are moments in game that are happening every game. Even if we win them, we come back. That you can't trust anyone. I would say, Nick, I think, sure, you can't put him back in a game like today. You just can't. The final thing, in my thought that why I'm so trying to not get worked up, the next morning with Albert, I watched the West Brom game to show him Match of the Day. And I had to explain for 5 minutes to a boy who's just getting to know about football, about the VAR. Well, why are we taking that again? And I actually felt so out of love with what I was explaining, that we were taking the emotion out of what I was telling a five-year-old. But, well, why are they doing that? And I felt like saying, my honest answer would be, I haven't got a fucking clue why they're doing that. But I said, well, when the goalie's off his line, what they do is they tell him off and they put him back. And I just thought, it's killing at so many levels, us not being there, the Glazers. I just feel flat about it all. Nathan, sorry, mate.
Like you say, I think tonight is the culmination of a few weeks, isn't it? Like we said about, we don't know what difference it could have made, but we all saw what not taking Fred off the other last week, you know, that we were a man down because of that, what could have happened. I was, like, if we're taking it back to last week, I was pretty confident at half-time that we could have got something out of that game, and then for some reason, that decision wasn't made, and we were in the situation we ended up in. And I don't know, I just think tonight was inevitable. I think it was just... I think tonight was just... I'm not surprised whatsoever, because I think one of the main things is that we were very lucky to face Leipzig in the first leg, well, in the first game against them, where they had a very, very off game, or at least a very off second half, where we probably had the best half an hour that we've had this season. And it made us think tonight, or some of us think tonight, that it was going to be a walkover, when they are a very, very good team. That, you know, tonight's not a surprise, really.
No, and am I being unfair by it? I'd prefer Henderson to be starting now. Shane?
I don't think so.
No, he made no.
I don't think so. I thought that save that he made when he came on from the free kick, I thought was absolutely outstanding. I think that's world class goalkeeping, and if you know a Neuer had made that, you'd be seeing reels on Twitter for it for the next few days. I thought that was a really top class save. So you know, De Gea again flapping his legs at pointless balls. It's just not good, isn't it? But I agree. I think that we've seen this De Gea experiment over the time, and he needs a bit of competition, and he needs to be shown that Henderson can take his place.
And Shane, come on, sorry, mate.
I think so. It's just a total basket case, really. When you kind of think, we talk about consistency a lot and consistency between games on these podcasts before. But actually, I think it's inconsistency during games now. You know, we've got two halves against West Ham that were polarised. We had a little spell at the end here, all too little, too late. And it's just a basket case. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, I wasn't that confident tonight. I think, before the game, it was, 50-50 for me. But, you know, I think the qualification from the group was, that was screwed up in Istanbul, wasn't it, that... You know, to get out of this group when the draw was made, you needed to beat the Turkish team twice, and I think that was a given for me. But nevertheless, as Nick said, that was a shocking start for the first 60 minutes today. And, you know, okay, two goals kind of made it, dressed it up a little bit at the end. But the third goal was a shocker again. When you think about it, the difference between us qualifying or not was that third goal, which was just a shocker to give away. I think I've been pro Ole, and I don't want to see him sacked. I don't think it's necessarily the answer, but equally, it's very difficult to defend the tactics when we've set out so badly in too many games now. And like even West Ham, I enjoyed the comeback on Saturday, but it's kind of, it just feels a little bit accidental all the time. We set ourselves up incorrectly, but now I've got just about enough quality in the squad to drag us out of it at times against the West Ham. And as Nathan said, you're not going to drag yourself out of the holes against the likes of PSG and Leipzig, who have been in that
stage. For once, when I was watching the game, I thought, because I knew that we were going to do this straight after the game, I thought I'll take some notes, because I never do that.
Go on.
And Glenn Hoddle said about us being a Jekyll and Hyde team, and I think that sums us up perfectly. Like, within game to game and within the game, like Shane said, like, but you just can't get away with it every time. Like, it's just ridiculous that we have to go behind to come back. And to be fair, I say I take notes. I wrote that down, and that was the only thing I wrote.
But I tell you what, I'm not often.
I feel like it perfectly sums us up. Like,
I'm not
tonight often, and over the last few months, it's just ridiculous.
I'm not often gonna quote Glenn Hoddle, but the first half, on two notes I got here, is he said that if you're playing that system which you like, Nick, that you have to have Wan-Bissaka and, on the left wing, you have to have them further pushed up. And the five were in a line for about 5 minutes after I was watching that they were all a static five. So it's no point unless they are going further, as attacking fullbacks, which is an ongoing problem again. And the other thing, I have a mate who caught the game on various streams, and I tell you what, well, it made me think why I think Ed might itch his rash quickly, is every major stream, it was done by popularity, and everyone was watching Juventus Barcelona. Next was Paris, before it became obviously what's happened there. And we were third on the list of being watched tonight. And I thought, that will fucking make, if they get figures immediately, you know, where is their interest? Where's the global interest? And it wasn't on us tonight. Not at all throughout the whole night. And I just thought, you know, is it anyone saying Ollie should go now? Any of you?
No, I kind of think it's just, like, it is a basket case. And the thing I can't get my head around is if I'd been cocooned, like, remember Mr. and Mrs., you go in the booth and you can't see what the other one's answering. If I come out of a Mr. and Mrs. booth now, that's a bad analogy. If I come out of the booth now and I looked at a league table, I'd be doing an Ollie fist pump. We're above sitting in the league, 5 points off the top with a game in hand. You'd be like fist pumping. And yet, if by watching the games, you know, we've got this kind of basket case. You just can't get your head around it, really.
So the context of everything that goes with it, though, isn't it? The bad start that we've had on. I mean, I'm with Nick. I just want him to succeed so much. But I think we've done two steps forward, one step back again. There's been points in games, in the last three or four games, where, even tonight, the first 15, 20 minutes in the second half, I thought we played some scintillating stuff. But I thought Mason Greenwood at times just looked out of this world. But then you put that into context with where we've lost games, and you put two moments in Istanbul, absolutely, what the hell's going on? Tonight, it looked like we were still in the dressing room for the first 20 minutes. Their third goal, I mean, Harry Maguire's got a chance to stick it in the stands. David De Gea comes out and pretends to be a girl at it. That's I thought it was Nick or Nathan earlier. Henderson at the weekend, not just with the free kick, but he came out at his near post and was brave and strong. And there's too many times for me that we've gone behind, or we've lost games, or we've lost the initiative because of stupid mistakes. And they're not even just mistakes. They are real fucking hard.
Yeah. But if I would say, I mean, like, I think we all agree we want him, you know, we want him to succeed because we're saying hearts over heads. But you can't have a year and a half where you're constantly one or two games from your next battle. And let's be honest, if this was Jose tonight, what would we be saying? So we're all going to be, you know, heart on head and wanting to succeed. But what would we? No, seriously, Nick.
It's just funny because it's another podcast where you have to mention his name. But there's no way that we would have gone to Leipzig tonight under a Jose Mourinho side that would have been properly teed up. I don't think we go there and we get beat in the manner that we did. You know, we don't concede three goals.
No, but you do at the end, Nick. Let's be honest. What Jose's doing at Spurs, let's mention him for 30 seconds, is the players who want to buy into it, buy into it. The ones who don't, he fucks off like Dele Alli. And then it unravels. The problem Ollie has got is, but some of it of his own making. Why isn't Donny starting today? You know, if Donny, it does make you think. Is Donny our sign? Is Donny his signing? Because if he's not playing him, and it's unraveling. You know, we haven't mentioned. There's one player we haven't mentioned, and I'll tell you what, I'm tired of it. I won't get Jav because he'll come out in his own rash, but I'm tired of it. So yesterday, I didn't even get angry then. I just thought, it's pathetic. You're absolutely pathetic. And it's like ear hair. You don't want it to be there. You can go on without it. If you've got a big hair on your ear as you get older, you're going to walk around with it for a day, but it's fucking irritating. And you cannot be arsed with it anymore. And Ollie has got a player now. And it just adds to the effect that things aren't right. But they're not right from the fucking top. You know, the Glazers, the fans forum, we've got it in the new mag, quick plug, sorry lads, but it's out at the weekend. Their excuse to the fans forum of why the club draws a dividend is just fantasy island. They're conning us. Sorry.
Yeah, I read those minutes. It's like it's kind of like in justifying it in the way they did in that. That's kind of more insulting to me than taking it in the first place. You know, at least be up front.
It's all for our benefit, really, you know, because you want a club run like this. That's why they do it.
Taking out millions. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Yeah, it's laughable that. Yeah.
But we can't spend December like this, Nick, can we? We cannot spend it. We can't do another month like this.
I mean, I'm sure I said last time, I think the only positive is that we've been pretty decent through all way in December in the league, you know, from when he took over and then through last year we just sort of went on a bit of a bounce. I do think we're going to be a bit up and down. I mean,
That sounds terrible, mate. I love you, but that's because he has good Decembers. That's really bad. That, I mean, I'm joining you in this.
No, I'm just trying to find some small positives, you know me. But, you know, I look at the Manchester Derby this weekend and you think, God, that could be, it could be a massive, or it could be brilliant. We could go into it final. But again, you don't know what it's going to be. You look at the game after that at Leeds and you think, God, they've been preparing for that for 15, 16 years, they're going to be well up for it, aren't they? And you just think, you know, you lose those two games and I don't know where you sit with him then.
No, but I trying to look, you missed, I've tried to be more impassive about it, not to get, you know, I don't want to go to bed tonight kicking things because the world's shit. I don't want to wake up tomorrow taking this to heart so badly like usual. There have been positives. Cavani, you know, massively, I've said it before, but he's one of those players you think in his early days is overrated, then you realise as he gets older he's a great player, then you see him in a United shirt and you think, fucking hell, his movement. But how have we got a 33-year-old whose movement is better than apparently the player we've had for four or five years, who's the next best thing, who's now 25, picking on Martial, he wasn't even there. But, you know, I just find the squad is, how can it be that the squad is stronger, yet we don't look more tactically or game management better, but we just have a knack of coming back in games? That's not a recipe for success, is it? I'm almost sacking Ollie myself. I don't want it to be like this.
I agree that, like, tactically it's difficult to defend, but if I'm honest, I know it shouldn't be this way with Manchester United, but given the whole context, the wider context of COVID, not being able to go to games, like I live in tier three, like many of us do, and you know, there's no pubs or restaurants to go to, anything. So, to be honest with you, I equally hate football behind closed doors, but it's the one thing I look forward to at the weekend, you know, having a couple of cans and watching the game. So, to be honest with you, I've got the attitude that I just enjoy the moments when we do get a comeback against West Ham or Southampton. Okay, it's a blow tonight, but you know, you just look at the table just flashed up there. I think, you know, we come third in a tough group. But we've got better goal difference. I know it's not, I'm not trying to dress it up, Barney, but it's not unexpected that this United, when the draw was made, not many people expected United to get out of that group. So I don't think tonight's a massive blow for me. I think it's more getting consistency in the league and a run and build on what we've got, but I'm not overly kind of going to get...
No, I agree.
Like you say, when the draw was done, like looking at the fact that both Leipzig and PSG were semi-finalists last year, you'd realistically think that third place was probably where we'd end up, like based on their performances last season. But I think it's the fact that we got to 9 points and it was basically in our hands and we've somehow managed to throw it away.
We've thrown it. And, you know, as I said earlier, we're not going to win it. We're not going to be there for a great, you know, night in February or March. So it's almost like a redundant. But the thing that makes me really sad on a couple of aspects, the movement Cavani showed at Southampton, I felt a bit of sadness. It's a 33-year-old doing that, not the 25-year-old strikers. The touch. The second thing, we could do this podcast a year ago, could have done it 2 years ago, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. This is almost what we are. And you said it, Shane. Nathan said it. you have to accept it. But there's a sadness in accepting that lack of ambition. You know, we haven't mentioned the transfer window, where that left us, not getting number one targets. It all adds up. If the manager is not capable of taking us to the next level, are we actually going to get a manager who's backed, who would then take us to the next level? Or is this just what we are? And we have to sadly take it that this is the modern Manchester United post-Fergie. This is what we are. Sorry, Jeff.
No, no, I think that's pretty hard, but he's absolutely spot on. So in the end of Fergie's reign, I don't think he was getting back to the market, and he was making such plays out of Southend. We have had some good managers. We have had some good managers with good records. And yeah, we spent a lot of money. But have we really invested in the right players? Have we really had the clear out that we need? If we had got our number one targets, would we be a bit more consistent? I don't know. There's lots of questions there. If Poch comes in, if he doesn't get fully backed, I think you're right, Barney. Are we having this conversation in 12 months' time? And it comes back to the owners for me. I think whichever manager we put in at the moment, as long as we've got the current owners and our current strategies for purchasing and replacement, and as you alluded to earlier, Ed will look at those streaming figures tomorrow, and that'll be a bigger influence on Ed as anything. And that's the same Ed that came out this week, last week, whatever it was, and said we're backing Ole, and we're backing Ole to go, and we're backing Ole in the transfer market next season. That comes so fickle.
Yeah.
He could spin on a knife edge tomorrow with the data that you've shared with us.
But that's and the wider point, you know, he should be gone tomorrow, Woodward. You know, if Ollie goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or manages to get some breathing space and we're back here talking about it, Woodward should go. He won't, because as we've got in the new mag as well, the share options suggest he's getting rewarded for this. He's getting rewarded because this, the only disappointment for the Glazers is we didn't get to the second round of the quarterfinals and you go for fourth place.
Yeah.
I mean, this sorry dance that we're involved in.
Oh, that man's still in the job is beyond me. Any CEO of a business that overlooks years of underperformance, he's not in a position for longevity. When was it he was coming on? Which player was it from Australia to secure a signing? And he's still waiting, and he just disappeared.
Fabregas, wasn't it?
But we said it's a bit like Pogba. We've gone around in circles. At the end of the day, my simple logic is if you've got a strategy at any organisation, and I know it's football, we don't want to make it a bloody David Brent speak, but it is, that's what Ed and that have turned it into. But if our strategy is to try and qualify for the Champions League and get fourth spot. I've said it again, you're not going to win a league. You're not going to set a team up to win a league. You're going to scrape fourth. And I think it's been said on here before, I think Nick said it repeated times. We get fourth, rest on our laurels. You know, we can scrape it again, and repeat. And so, I don't think it's good enough. But I'm resigned that under the current regime, this is kind of it. Now, you might change a manager who's more tactically astute and can get more out of the resources at his disposal. But I don't think it's going to materially overtake Liverpool and City. Well. Liverpool in particular at the moment, and the top teams, and other teams are moving on as well. We've seen Spurs kicking on now a little bit with organisation. So it's not as though everyone else is standing still.
It feels just like a deja vu, Shane.
I said it last year, Barney. I know it's a bit depressing, but I said we were like at that stage about 10 years away from a title. I don't think we're getting any closer, to be honest.
But that's what I mean. You almost have to take a step back and not let it hurt you like it does. Like the usual thing, God forbid what the fallout will be. But, you know, the other day someone, what do you do about the Glazers? And they only hold a fanzine up for 15 years, putting information that people don't want to really read. You know, we go around. I did think maybe we should have some Machiavellian pact where Jose puts in a bid for Pogba. And he's the only club we accept. So he has to go. He finally gets his move and it's to Jose again. The second thing, seeking any type of hope in the world. BBC Advance announced new series was made for Christmas. I thought, come on, early doors. Nope, Vicar of Dibley. So the only thing they filmed this year is the fucking Vicar of Dibley. If that is a year kicking you in the bollocks, that has already kicked you 10 times in the bollocks. Right, Nathan, come on. Bring us hope, Nathan.
Awesome there.
I'm looking forward. We're having a little get together. Well, a Zoom get together on Friday, aren't we?
We're having the Sellers Drink Up.
A little get together. So I'm looking forward to that. So.
The Sellers Drink Up usually involves one of us ending up waking up in a gutter, but we're going to have to do it in our own homes via the power of Zoom. And I've wound them up.
You're still getting a gutter, because
you know. I've done something really appalling. I've bought us an escape.
I can really feel you looking at me
now. An escape room. I've bought an escape room game for an hour, and they're all going to hate it, Mark especially. So that is really torture for not selling. You're going to have to play this. But also, that one of the only bright lights was. Mark.
Jesus.
Well, that don't tell these lot. But Mark, who never is happy about anything, he went. He watched the. Was it the Istanbul? Was it PSG? And he went on a rant because it was the first time he'd noticed that Alan Keegan still announces the teams to an empty stadium, and he went absolutely ape shit. What is that twat doing there? And I just. If Alan Keegan speaks to an empty stadium, is anyone listening? Or is anyone there?
I love Alan Keegan, being to be one of the first people.
maybe it's Alan Keegan that's picking the fucking side. It's just like a lottery who turns up. Is it Alan Keegan just sort of rolls a dice and starts?
Right.
Fergie Tombola.
Nick, come on. Pump us up. Pump up the volume.
I think if anything, you should be expecting a reaction finally
on
Saturday. I'm hoping anyway, so more optimistic, I would think. But I think you need a reaction, don't you, against City? We won there twice last season. So, I mean, why can't we carry on going there? It seems like Ole's got a bit of an edge over Pep. So hopefully we can go into that with a bit of a bounce. And if we can get a result in that and get a result against Leeds, you know, who knows? You know, we can keep going in the top four merry-go-round, but... As it's already been said on here tonight, you know, if you don't change the owners, then this is the best you hope for.
It's not boring. We'll all agree. It's not boring watching us.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's not boys by now, is it? But, you know, you've got Sparks. I thought Greenwood was pretty good at times tonight. You know, he takes his chance early on and makes it 1-1. It comes a different game and stuff. So, you know, we had chances against PSG, didn't we? It wasn't, you know, I thought we played pretty well in that game, to be fair. And got beat 3-1, so I don't think it's completely all doom and gloom. You know, we were never going to win the Champions League, but we're in a competition where Sevilla aren't in it, which is a positive. They seem to knock us out of Europe every fucking year.
Good dance.
So, you know, but if you want a positive, it's that we've got a clean shot at that trophy.
Can you imagine our first game back will be Gdansk? How drunk would we be?
I've actually got a cancel. I've got, it's a good reminder actually, because I had booked Istanbul Hotel, so I've now got a cancel there.
Change them over.
I had Gdansk booked last year.
That poor hotel who were willing to pick us all up for the European Cup final are now going to get that rug thrown under their feet.
Exactly.
Sorry, it's cancelled. I don't know.
No, it's not negative. It is. New order of playing Eaton Park, that cheered me up today. Got tickets for that. Something to look forward to.
I wish it had been for Strictly.
William Shakespeare got his coronavirus jab and Nick Hancock cried on TV. That made me laugh.
Yeah, that wasn't a setup in any shape or form,
no,
was it?
No, that
William Shakespeare just happened to be the second. I don't know. We're laughing, but it's fucking...
As I said on Twitter, I'm going to sob like that when someone pours me a pint of Guinness in a pub. That's, you know... Someone said to me now, the vaccine or the pint of Guinness in a pub, I take the fucking Guinness, I think.
But we're laughing, but I don't know. I'm just United have been draining all. None of this is new. The things I've been posting, you know, the Franco Farrell, the George Best. United have always had crises and bad patches, but this just feels so self-inflicted all the time. And I do think, you know what, we're kidding ourselves about Ollie deep down. I do think that. I try not to. Like Jav said, I so want him to succeed, but I think I you know, like nights like tonight. It's going to play out with or without us. He'll have. I so want him. I'll fucking send him a text pissed up later going, come on, Ollie. But.
I'd love to see him, like. I'd love to see him win a trophy before he goes. You know, win, what is it, the quarter final of the League Cup?
But these are big games. These are big games.
When the Europa League, we've probably got a better chance of winning. I'd love to see him sign off the trophy just to have that legacy and
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
I think the big, you know, we've got Everton away, we've got Leicester away, we've got Sheffield United. December, we always knew it was unforgiving, 11 games or whatever it is, 10 games. So if he comes out of it, you're almost like you're pulling him like a dog in the water. You know, each time he gets out of it, you're going, come on, Ollie, come on, we can do this. But you keep drowning in water and it comes to a point where you're just fucking, you know, the tired. It's and this isn't, you've got the Pogba situation to deal with. You've got, what is going on with Donny? He's got a goalie that is not the goalie we had in goal. We've got the leader in the back who isn't a leader. We're over-relying on Fernandes. Right, final words, lads. Jav?
I don't know what to say. I'll give you a prediction for Saturday, and I'm going to give you the same prediction as I gave you last time. If you weren't cheering up, I think United are going to win the derby 3-2. Don't ask me why.
Well, you and Nick had it right for Everton. Nick?
Yeah, I agree. I still think we can go there and win.
It's at us.
Us, yeah. Us, all of us, yeah. I still think we can win. I do. I
really that do makes it worse. Look at your faces now. You're worried. It's at home.
Oh, it's at home. Oh, right. Oh, we'll get me.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's doom and gloom.
If that sums up the how detached we are, we don't know. I could that's ask all depressing. Of us.
I had asked before. It's depressing that we don't even know where it's being
played. We don't know where we're at. We don't know who we've got when. We don't know the kickoff times. It all adds to that feeling that we're just. Right. It's just a bollocks season, and that's not an excuse. It's a good way when we're completely shit. Right. I'll say it. We're not part of this season. Fuck it off.
I'm still going for
3-2. All right, I'll take that. Nick, prediction.
God. Draw. I think we'll get a reaction. I think that'll be a positive. I think you'll get your reaction. The thing is for City is they've not been great at scoring. I think they've not been as free scoring as what they usually have. So, you know, if anything, hopefully we come back with a bit of a bite. And we get at least a draw. As long as they don't go above us and we can keep it going, take the momentum into the Leeds game, and hopefully we can start bouncing, beat Everton and bounce into the new year.
Yeah, but what are we bouncing back from? I thought today we were bouncing back from the first half at West Ham, you know?
We bounced back from that in the second half and won the game. How giddy do you want me to be here? Bloody hell, bouncing back from that. We did, we bounced back and won the bloody game.
We bounce back in games now, Barney, not between them, so it didn't bounce high enough tonight.
Come on, Nathan.
I don't know, you're going to speak to me before that game, so...
Yeah, we're going to do a pissed up nothing.
I don't know, I think... I don't know, I don't want to be too negative, but...
No, just be truthful.
I don't think we'll win on Saturday, so...
It goes back, you know, we said, like, will he still be here? We're having the same... And so much has happened since the last podcast. Sorry, we've all had some, but so, you know what I mean. We're ending it exactly as we ended last one, even though we've had so many ups and downs. It's just bonkers, bonkers United, isn't it? All right, take care, lads. Okay, I'll speak to you before Christmas. Anyway, we'll have another. Thanks a lot, lads, for doing this tonight. I know it's a shit right after.
See you later.
All right, cheers, everyone. Thanks for listening. I'll take care of yourselves. I know you're going to be feeling flat. Glory, glory, Man United. Hopefully a bounce back and take care of yourselves, yeah?